Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
And the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Man, today is already Friday. This week has flown by. It's Memorial Day celebration, day number 131. Michael will talk a little more about that here in a minute. And welcome in our chat room and also on the switchboard. If you want to talk, please press 1 and it will let me know that you want to speak to Michael. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Hello, Michael.
Hey, sweetie, how are you?
I'm good.
Wonderful. Well, welcome everybody to today's show. I hope that you're in a space for taking your process to the next level. We certainly are. I've spent quite a bit of time on the phone today processing with David, and he's dealing with the issues that that are moving in his life, and certainly we extend our hearts and our support to him. We invite you, as we do every day, to join us in looking at one issue in your world and in your life that you're willing to forgive, that one place where there's some form of hostility or fear in your physiology that you're willing to be done with, that you're willing to have removed from your physiology. And the forgiveness process, if you're not familiar with how it works, if you go to our website, www.whyagain.com. It's www.whyagain.com. On the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets. The first 4 links will introduce you to some revolutionary technology. The exact opposite of what our culture teaches as forgiveness is what true forgiveness is. And so how do you go inside yourself and remove what never belonged? Any culture that does not have true forgiveness available to it ends up accumulating hostility and fear until it has to make somebody into such an enemy that they're worth killing, the root cause of war. If we can create a critical mass of people who will take responsibility for their own hostility and fear and move that hostility and fear out of their physiology, we will change the direction of war on planet Earth. So that's our way of honoring those who have been murdered in war, who have been forced to murder, who have been injured, who have been maimed, and brought those traumatic experiences home with them, or perhaps the traumatic experience was that they never came home. We'd like to put a stop to that. We'd like to see a world that actually lives in peace. How do you do that? Take responsibility for any hostility or fear in your physiology, and you remove it. Forgive. So, Jeannie, do we have David with us? Do we have Dr. Tim with us today?
David is with us. Tim is not with us yet. And before David comes on, I also forgot to mention that we now have joined, we are partners with, not just Blog Talk Radio, but also what's called Impact Player Music Nation Radio. And so the call numbers for that is www.ipmnation.com and then /Earth Angels. And so we're expanding now. We can be heard live on several stations, and so that's awesome. And I had forgotten to mention that. So David is on with us. Hi, David.
Hello, Jeannie. Hi, Michael and the audience.
Welcome. How are you, my brother?
Well, as you know, you and I have been communicating this morning on several occasions, and I'm doing well. And a thought that came to me as you were talking about ending war on the planet, then the thought that came to me was about the war that goes on with inside so many people. And it is a reflection in the wars that are going on. And in some way, to phrase it in a way that to end the battle that's going on within each individual. And that is a big challenge. You know, you use the expression sometimes about it's not a job for wimps, and I like to phrase it that it takes a lot of courage. It takes a courageous person to do that. And very challenging, very, very challenging, and well worth it, especially from my perspective of seeing the and knowing the results, for I do know the results that will materialize from doing the work based on my own experience of the work that I've done so far and the value that has come from it. And right before I got on the show, Michael, and this will mean have a different significance for you than others, then I received a text from my son Bradley and said absolutely awesome. That he wants me there.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Good job.
That is fabulous.
Yeah. And that in itself is, for me, monumental, you know, the value of that. And to know, because, you know, you and I talked a little bit about my relationship with Ryan and the level of connectedness. And I feel I have that also with my son Bradley. And I sense that in the return text, for we had been doing some pretty good work prior to a few years ago. And again, it's the courage to take a stand as an individual versus my own individual self versus taking a stand with family or society. The stand begins with me, and then there's a reflection out there with that. And, you know, I think that you said that you were going to talk about happiness today. And I came on a few minutes late, so I don't know if you have already introduced that or not. And,
not yet.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things about happiness is, for me, it's like the word love or it's like the word truth. There's nothing really to define what happiness is. It's the experience. And I think it's more of a understanding and an experience of tapping into my true self that there's the ultimate happiness with it. So in doing the work, there's the experience of that. For once again, you know, that word happiness, you know, as far as the country slogan, you know, of in pursuit of happiness, being here in America and so forth. And I read somewhere before that those aren't actually the words that were said at the beginning of it, that, you know, that it was later added to that. For it is an internal process versus an external process with it. that's where I'm at today. There's a mouthful.
Yes, sir. I hear you loud and clear. And, you know, my thoughts, I've been processing with several people recently, and this thought of addressing the idea of happiness and how people tend to want to hook either their happiness, their sadness, their grief, their pain. And it's kind of an extension of the conversation that Tim had with Jeannie the other day, too. And that is that when we hook what's going on inside of us up to something that's outside of us, then we always are going to be on the run. Because when I believe that what's going on inside of me, like, for instance, you know, I say to myself, well, you know, I'm just not happy. And it's because I'm here, you know, it doesn't matter. I've got the executive job and it's too much stress. I'm not happy because I have the executive job and it's too much stress. Or, you know, I'm a menial laborer making minimum wage. Well, I'm not happy because I'm a menial laborer making minimum wage. Or I'm not happy because of the way my spouse is. Or I'm not happy because of the way my children are. Or, and the mind hooks this happiness thing up to all of these external circumstances and totally, completely removes its ability to achieve happiness, because happiness has nothing to do with circumstance. You look at people who are blaming their unhappiness on current circumstance, and you say to them, well, you know, how much happiness have you had in your life? Well, I remember back about 10 years ago, you know, I had 10 minutes where I was really happy. Oh, really? Okay. So tell me about this unhappiness thing. If you remember back, when was the first time that you found yourself being unhappy? The relationship I had with my mom and dad, you know, was pretty miserable. In fact, I got out of the house as soon as I could, and I was 13, and I left home, and I was gone. Well, gee, you know that person's lived 13 years of hell to get out of the house at 13. And then, you know, and then I went and I got myself into a marriage, and oh, that marriage was so miserable. I got beat up. I got, you know, just ripped one way, the other. I put up with that for so long, and man, it was so miserable. Yeah, then what happened? Well, you know, I finally got the courage to get out of that one, and then, well, you know, I got into another one, and for 15 years I lived in hell again, and it was miserable, and so now you're in a new place. You remember 10 minutes of your life when you were happy, and you think it was the circumstance that made it that way. We need to stop kidding ourselves that our happiness or our unhappiness has got anything whatsoever to do with circumstance. And you said the key words, David. Happiness has to do with you maintaining your connection to your source. Happiness has to do with what in Aramaic was called the first law, which was Rachma. And if I lose my connection to love, my true being, and my happiness, and my brain goes, well, I'm only giving this up because of what you did, because of this circumstance, because of the way this is. That's why I gave up my happiness. Excuse me. No, you gave up your happiness because you come from a family system that makes insane choices when under stress. And it's your opportunity to make new choices. Gee, if everything isn't exactly the way my infantile mind demands it must be, it's got to be perfection according to me. And if it's not, then I'm going to be angry, I'm going to be fearful, I'm going to repeat what happened in my family of origin, I'm going to repeat what happened when I was a child, and I'm going to feel like, okay, here I go, I got to get out of here because this is making me unhappy. And the core, the major key in the process of forgiveness is that I can forgive if I can take responsibility for my unhappiness. And, of course, that unhappiness means I'm hostile or I'm fearful in some way, shape, or form. I can forgive my hostility and fear, and I can stand in the space of this thing that doesn't measure up to all of my infantile demands, and I can be happy. I can select to stay connected to my source, and okay, so everything isn't the way I want it to be. I have two choices. I can go into upset about it, or I can stay connected to love, and I can do what I can do to change it. You know, there's that awesome little prayer that that comes with the 12-step program. God, give me the strength to change the things I can and to accept the things I can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. And in essence, if I'm in the presence of something that it seems I can't change, gee, somebody else's behavior is just off the wall, they're not doing what they should do, well, I can say and do what I can to motivate that change, and I'll have a much better chance of being able to bring about that change with them if I'm connected to love and in a space of my happiness. But if I come from my hostility and fear and try to inspire somebody else to change, I'm not going to be much of an inspirer. I'm going to be a driver, or I'm going to be a pusher trying to get somebody to change instead of one who inspires. And even if they don't measure up to everything that I want them to measure up to, I can still stand in the connected space of happiness, which is a radical thought for most people. It's like, oh, come on, Michael, that can't be. Yeah, that can be. And the only condition required for one to select to live in happiness is that they choose to make their first priority their connection to their source. That means they actually have love for love, or what was called God. And that's always first. If they have a love for, well, everybody has to do what I want them to do when I want them to do it and the way I want them to do it, then they don't love God. They don't love love at all. They love the graven images in their minds that bring them happiness or unhappiness, or so it seems. So they'll stand in rage insisting things be different. They'll stand in a complaint. They'll stand in a whine. They'll stand in a moan. And they can be in a whole scenario where everything is absolutely awesome and wonderful, except one piece is out of place. They'll focus on that one piece, and they'll find a reason to replicate what's gone on in their past, and usually things that happened to them before the age of 5. To take responsibility for your life, to actually forgive, means that you have no graven images. Charlie doesn't do it the way I want him to do, I choose happiness. Harry doesn't do it the way I want him to, I choose happiness. Bill doesn't do it the way I want him to, I choose happiness. Mary doesn't do it the way I want her to, I choose happiness. Hortense doesn't do it the way I want her to, I choose happiness. My carbon-based memory and my ancient family system and the insanity of my culture will say, no, in this circumstance you have to choose rage. No, in this circumstance you have to choose to complain. No, in this circumstance you have to choose to gossip about somebody and talk behind their backs about what they did or what they didn't do. And, this carbon-based memory will come up with 1,000 excuses. And the bottom line truth is, if I love love first, I'm not going to give it up. If I don't know how to do that, then I've got to start forgiving all the graven images that I've given power to. You know, that commandment that says, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no strange gods, no false gods, no graven images before me. Unhappiness is a graven image that we unwittingly put between ourselves and our direct connection to our source, the active presence of love. If you want to know what the active presence of love is, just hold a newborn child. You'll know what your true source is and what your true human life is. Do you sell it out? What do you sell it out for? Well, you know, Michael, if I just went to love, then I'd be denying all of that. Well, I'm not suggesting you deny all of that other stuff. I'm suggesting you forgive it. And the only reason you're feeling it is because it's in you, and forgiveness is how to remove it from you. So that's one of the core pieces of this work, is moving to that level of responsibility. You know, you think about the man named Yeshua. There's these thorns. He's been whipped and beaten to merciless ends, nails in hands and feet. And what does he do? Oh, I hold a blessing for you guys. By the way, I hope the Creator takes care of you. See you later. Love you. That's called a true human life. And people say, well, gee, Michael, did you notice that doing that got him dead? And it's like, yeah, I noticed doing that got him dead. Did you notice they couldn't keep him that way? I'd offer that's what he came to teach us. The power of maintaining your human life and your relationship with love above all else, above all other gods, above all other things that can create pictures or graven images in your mind that you can pretend are the cause of your upset. When we move into adulthood, we take responsibility rather than pretend that it's all about somebody else. So that's kind of what I had. I've been processing with some folks over the phone, and that's kind of what I had in my mind today as an opener and a place to start the conversation. And hopefully we'll get somebody who will go, "What, Michael, are you crazy? What are you talking about?" Or, "Gee, that makes sense. How do I do it?" Or whatever your questions are. We have a call-in number. We would love to hear your voice. The number is 646-200-4169. 646-200-4169. We'd be delighted to hear from you if you have a comment. Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today?
He is, and we also have a caller waiting, too.
Okay, well, let's just say hello to Dr. Tim and see if he has any thoughts on those thoughts. It's really an extension of the conversation you and he were having the other day. So, by the way, folks, 2 days ago, the show was awesome. Download, if you weren't on the show 2 days ago, download the MP3 of it from our website, and you'll love it. It was an awesome conversation between Jeannie and Dr. Tim. And for those who may not know Dr. Tim Hayes is a psychologist, went 35 years in practice up in Crystal Lake, Ohio, Crystal Lake, Illinois. Been doing this support group for the last 6 years, and we much appreciate you, Dr. Tim, for all the work. You know, 2 weeks we spent in Chicago a few weeks ago was awesome. We had a blast up there.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for the intro, and I agree that what you're talking about here is just an extension and using different words for the kinds of things we were discussing a couple days ago. And while it is, as David was saying, quite a challenge for those of us who have been conditioned to the direct opposite of this process, it's a challenge for us to stop and question what we're doing and observe to find out if the way you just described it, Dr. Rice, is possible. Is that really the way my mind works? Is that a possibility for me? I can actually choose how I feel in a given moment, even if the outside events are the kinds of things I have traditionally used as an excuse to be angry or hurt or sad. And I would offer that while it is a challenge, it is well worth accepting the challenge. And everyone I know who's accepted the challenge honestly and begun to observe these things in their life has observed that they do have different options and that the reality I'm creating inside of me is something that I can recreate differently to be more positive. And the tools that are provided on your website are magnificent. And that's what I have to say, and I'm anxious to hear the caller.
Cool. Awesome, Dr. Tim. Welcome. Thank you. And David, do you have any other thoughts on that little presentation on happiness?
Yeah, Mike, you know, the thing at the very end of it, what I heard you say, is about growing up. And I think that that's just key, you know, to grow up on a level of accepting and understanding things from an adult mind versus from the child's mind and experience with it. And that's very challenging. It was challenging when I was a child, and it's challenging now because, in essence, in a lot of ways, I'm stuck in the childlike beliefs and programs. And so it is about making that shift. There was a statement that I heard in 12 Steps at one time was, you know, the first three steps are about fessing up, and the next three steps are about, or the first three steps are about giving up, the next three steps are about fessing up, the next three steps are about making up, and the last three steps are about growing up. And it's a challenge. And it's as Tim said, it's so worth it. It's so very worth it. What else is there to do? So that's all that I have right now. Thanks.
Cool. Cool. Well, Jeannie, would you invite our caller in?
I'd love to. So area code 606, you are on the air. Who do we have? Is this Richard by chance?
It's 607, yes, and it's Richard.
Okay. Welcome.
What, how do you be?
Oh, pretty good. Unfortunately, have been out of touch and not been able to listen to any of your shows all this week, and hopefully I'll get a chance to download the show you were talking about. But the reason I'm calling in today is, I just wanted to share that I've had two clients that I've been working with this past month and been sharing the worksheet with them, and they've been utilizing. The one woman had been grief-stricken about a personal loss from last year, and it just happened to be that it was the anniversary date of when that person passed away, and it was her former husband, and she's been very still grieving about it. And so my first session with her before I even did anything else was gave her the worksheet and explained to her how to work through the sheet, and so she's been working with that. But the real reason I'm calling today is it seems like all of a sudden I'm getting these people coming to me with their problems, and right now I have a coworker who is, a couple months ago, middle of the summer, he came to me and said he couldn't sleep at night, and he was he had fixed his roof in his trailer, and the rafts were creaking, and he was keeping awake all night. So he decided to find another place to live or whatever, and he went out and purchasing another house. He's in the process of doing that, and now he's become very concerned and worried about his job, whether he's going to have a job and be able to pay for all this. So he's in a state of panic and fear and upset and whatnot.
But where are we heading? Have we got a question? Where are we heading?
Well, I've suggested to him to do a worksheet around his fears and his issues. Obviously, he keeps coming up with these different fears. Now he's concerned about his job. And he's approaching me, and I want to be able to help him. And at this point, I'm sort of like, my suggestion at this point is, you want to sit down and do a worksheet with me? And he doesn't seem to want to do that. And so I'm just calling in for advice. Where do I go from here with this, with him?
Well, in the ancient Aramaic, there was a word that was used to describe someone who was in resistance to looking at the truth and was stuck in their story. Interestingly enough, in the Greek culture, it was externalized as some kind of a force that was outside of us, just like everything that humans want to blame somebody else for. But the name for this resistor, one who misleads, was called Satan. It's a lowercase word. It's not an uppercase word, some dude that's out to get us. But it literally means in Aramaic, the resistor, one who misleads. And so, generally speaking, when you start bringing truth to somebody, their stress goes up. And when their stress goes up, if you can't give them a way to manage or to reduce their stress, then you may be starting in an area that's too big for them. Starting with something that big an issue that perhaps in first introduction with someone, starting with something small where there's not going to be so much resistance to letting go until one gets the idea of, oh, I can let go of these things. I don't know if you remember the first time you did the Why workshop, but I asked people to do a small issue so that they can stay conscious and work through the worksheet itself and start to comprehend the principles behind it. Otherwise, what tends to happen when you introduce people to, you know, there's a great line in the Course in Miracles that says, problems are meaningless. But don't tell that to somebody that's in the middle of one. If one's whole identity is based upon their trauma and what's going on in their worlds, then when you threaten to take that away, you literally threaten their identity. And so perhaps a gentler approach that starts with, hey, you know, I've got this tool. It's called a forgiveness process. And, you know, we start with something. Let's look at, you know, some small upset in your life and help people to build the brain cells for, oh, there is actually a way that I can change these things. There is a way I can move through these. And that might be helpful. Another possibility might be, if you won't sit down and do a worksheet, might be, you know, you've done the training with the still point breathing and the energy field work, is to just invite them to breathe. And that will handle a multitude of, you know, dissociated states when someone goes through the still point breathing process. So that would be two of my suggestions.
Okay, well, thanks. I appreciate
that. That makes sense?
Yeah, because it's like he, you know, he's been coming to me every time he sees me with his issues, and it's interesting. I had a dream, I don't know, a couple of nights ago, one day, and I had this dream that, you know, I was asking for directions, and he gave me these directions to, you know, a lead for some sort of job position or whatever. And I started out, and I ended up in this half, what I consider like a halfway house, where I got stuck and people were coming and going, and I was like, well, I don't have a cell phone right now. I can't figure out my directions to where I'm going. So I felt like I was stuck in this halfway house trying to figure out my next position. And he just happened to be the person that was, you know, the person that had sort of, you know, I was making contact with at the time. But now here I am in a real life situation, dealing with him on a, you know, on a personal level of him wanting to, you know, he's dealing with all these fear issues, and like I said, he took on the responsibility of purchasing another home, and now he's concerned that he's.
So Richard, it sounds like perhaps your dream was telling you that he's going to lead you to a new level of skills in being able to support people. And so that's, you know, I think your question is very appropriate for, you know, what direction do I go when somebody has that much resistance? And, you know, that would be where I'd suggest moving and going.
Okay, well, I appreciate the thoughts, because
All right.
I was like, okay, now what do I do? So thank you very much.
All right, have a blessed one. Take
you
care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Michael, we have another caller.
Awesome. Cool. Let's ask them in.
Area code 517. You're on the air. Who do we have, and where are you calling from?
It's Rex, Lansing, Michigan.
Hi,
Rex.
Hey, young man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let me take you off.
Okay.
Yes, I did get your call. Thank you for calling. I didn't get a chance to call you back, and you reminded me of the program by hearing your voice on my voicemail, so thank you. Well, I had a comment on the previous caller. Quite often, what we all have a tendency to do is to continue to look externally for that happiness, or look externally for that piece of information. I heard in some of his languaging, it sounded like he was saying, I really want to help this guy, and I have more and more people coming to me trying to get help or needing help. And one of the first things that I would recommend that the gentleman, first of all, his honesty is really clear, and that's rewarding, you know, it's refreshing, and I acknowledge that. And also to just maybe just step back and say, well, what part of myself am I feeling I need to help? What part am I not paying attention to inside me that is mm-hmm. being reflected by these people coming to me wanting help?
Right.
And that might
what
be a great start. Pardon me?
What part of me is in resistance?
Right, yes. And so that was the one thought I had on that. And then also to acknowledge the part about that you're talking about, the love. And, you know, as you know, we've been committed to following through on the commitment that my son's also doing. And in that process, I've had the pleasure of being, you know, kindled into your material again and again and again. I mean, I teach it. I know the material inside and out for the most part. But it's always wonderful to have it just be flashing at me for 2 hours a day. And it's been real intriguing to watch happen. You know, I've had a few things come up, which have been great, you know, a lot of healing. But the part about love is I love, and I think it just encapsulates it, is that it is something we do. It's who we are.
Yep.
And just to remind us of that, because the idea of happiness is a byproduct of being who we are. And happiness is relative. It's completely relative to whatever state we choose. We can be in incredible pain and be relatively happy. And if I'm able to embrace whatever it is I'm in the moment with holding conscious, active, and present, the state of beingness called love that I am, then that's the next obvious experience for me. It's when I'm in a reaction or when I'm in a judgment on something or when I'm processing something inside myself. And then the last thing I wanted to share was in regards to, you know, someone that we're working with. It's come up into my awareness how it feels to have someone who is very close to me not only reject but attack the principles that I live my life by and that I teach, and how much there's still things that come up in me regarding that, even though I know what I know to be true. And I just wanted to comment on that because that's a really important piece. I believe what we do, and it can be very subtle, but what we do is we have a tendency to create a belief system, you know, even if it's create a belief system that this is the truth, and it is the truth. If we're behind it trying to validate it in actuality, it's because we're doubting it. And that has come up in me, and I just wanted to acknowledge that. And it's a very powerful piece because it's in layers, and I'm seeing deeper layers of that. And it isn't in my conscious awareness that I have any question at all about the work that I teach and what I live and what I believe. But when it's in my face with someone that I love, and even to the extent calling me an idiot, I'm having a good time moving through that material. So that was the three comments I wanted to make, Michael.
Cool. Well, a question I would ask in that regard would be, was there ever a time when that was the kind of energy or the kind of language that you pointed at your son?
That time I pointed.
And if so, as you're breathing, it might be appropriate to be able to own that, you know, right in the middle of that conversation, to be able to say, you know, son, one of the things that I can remember doing when you were 3 or you were 5 or, you know, when there was something that you couldn't do that I thought you should have been able to do, just like my dad did with me, I called you that. And so I certainly understand why that those words and those thoughts and those feelings are in your vocabulary and in your field, because I helped plant them there. And what I'd like to do is learn to live differently, and that might be a place to pull the commitment out and, you know, make the commitment. I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth and treat you lovingly, gently, and respectfully in my thoughts, my words, and my actions, whether I'm in your presence or not, that, you know, putting forward the idea of a new path, a new place to go.
Well, that is, what was that?
Go ahead.
The last part? Oh. That is the approach that I take, and I can definitely resonate with that interaction with my father. I changed the interaction with Journey, my son, mentioning his name, when he was young, because I realized that isn't the behavior I wanted to do, but that doesn't mean what I believe has happened is I still transferred it. And I don't think I used that languaging or had that verbiage, but I believe that that was inside me, and I'm sure I conveyed it. And so I can definitely do some more work on that without question.
Yeah.
And as far as being able to present myself consciously with him through this process, I'm finding it to be, I'm feeling good about that. And I'm feeling like I'm staying pretty clear with it. And so, but thank you for pointing that out. That helps.
Yeah. It might be a good mind shifter to do too, would be, you know, one of the things you shared with me the other day, and seeing as how you're being so blunt and honest, I assume I can ask the question, but you spoke about how one of the things you did in your younger life was yelled a lot, which is what you had in your family system. So a mind shifter that goes something like, it's safe and healing for me to remember everything I ever yelled at my kids.
That's
and
a
sit
good
down,
to do
take,
that.
Take a couple hours and write that and let yourself get into that file with those thoughts, those feelings, and really be in touch with that, and then to share it with him and with your daughter might be really useful. You know, I know there was a real healing place for me. There was one time with my kids, I was, you know, usually in pretty good shape with them, but there was one time in particular, we were traveling. We'd been on the road for about 6 months. It was just them and myself in the motorhome, and they were small. And, you know, the kids just going crazy. And I didn't understand at the level I understand today. You know, they were pretty young, maybe 5 or 6. And I didn't understand how stress causes us to degrade into old power person behaviors. And one of my power person behaviors was, of course, a dad who yelled. And I can remember this just stopping the motorhome and getting up and, you know, really letting it loose. And the day that I shared that, especially with my daughter, that, you know, one of the biggest regrets I have in my life with you, sweetheart, is that I remember, and I don't know whether you did, my son didn't remember it, my daughter did, as I recall now, but when I shared that, you know, one of my biggest regrets was the day that, you know, we were in the motorhome and blah, 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 and I just really started yelling in an effort to, you know, try to keep you guys quiet so that I could focus on driving, and how insane that was and how unreasonable and unfair that was to two little kids who were just doing little kid things, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
And here I was, you know, a dad driving a motorhome down the road with all my stresses and all, you know, all my stuff in my face. And, you know, it can open a huge space, the ownership for something like that. And so that might be valuable in your interaction with Journey.
Well, thank you, Michael, and I, yes, I do appreciate that. I've done some things similar and have definitely verbalized to Journey and Brea that I, and lesser with Josh, because it just didn't seem to be the same types of triggers. Journey's just been a powerful healer for me. As far as the aggression and the anger, I was able to, whenever I did it, I always came clean within, as soon as I regained my consciousness and my presence, I would go back and say, look, what daddy did, what I did was wrong. That was, the yell and get mad was wrong. That's not the right behavior. And I'm using language that worked for me back then. It would have been different now.
I understand.
And so then I basically did do that. And I think there's always a new moment, and I'm willing to do that again. And I've made that perfectly clear that those times of yelling since then, even in this process, I've apologized from my heart and said, I will work on that behavior. I love your idea of apology versus being sorry. You know, I apologize for that behavior I just did, and here's what I'm going to do to correct it and do better, you know, to do it, to improve the behavior. I've done that with him as well, and I, those are just good inputs, so I appreciate it.
Well, Rex, I acknowledge the integrity of your process and the level of willingness you have to own your part and work through it, and that's such a powerful example for everybody that's listening, is that level of willingness rather than moving into a defensive posture, just being willing to own it and move through it, because what most people do is just go into, well, you know, screw you, and I'm out of here, and blah, 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 and I'm not doing it. And that's the unwillingness, that's the resistor. And, you know, so I acknowledge you and how in your life, and, you know, we've been hanging out with his work for 22 or 23 years now. And you know.
Actually, we're going on 30, Michael. It's been 30.
Is it that long? Wow.
It's been 30 years. And I appreciate it and thank you for that acknowledgement. And in all honesty, I had a reality surface, and it's fun because I can share this with the whole whoever happens to be listening, because it's just about learning. And I find the best thing is real examples. And in the moment when you were sharing what your story was about when you yelled at your kids, I remember a vacation that we had together up north.
Right. Yep.
And my mind wanted me to say, oh, yeah, but remember that vacation? And I started finding that part of me wanting to point my finger, and I had to just take a deep breath and say, you're descending. That's not acceptable right now, so just relax. We're going to receive this fully. Take a deep breath and relax. And as I did that, everything in that resistance and that defense melted. So I did get defense, but I caught it, and so that's why it was received, I'm sure, as non-defensible. And it isn't. I mean, there was no reason to defend anything, but I did have it show up, so yay. Thank you.
Hey, delighted. Glad to be on the team, and glad for you to be on our team. And for those who don't know Rex, it's Rex Montague Bauer, who teaches the Y Work up in Lansing, Michigan, has a support group
Wednesday of the month, yep. Wednesday from 7 to 8:30/9 p.m.
Awesome. So keep in touch, and Rex's information is on our website. So blessings. Thanks for the call.
Beautiful.
Rick.
God bless
Thanks
you.
Thanks for the willingness.
God bless everybody.
All right.
Bye.
So, Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room? That's a powerful piece of information, Rex. Thank you. And open some great stuff for everybody, I imagine.
There's several people in the chat room and on the switchboard. Nobody's really commenting. They're just listening. So anybody that's out there and wants to talk, we've got about 13 minutes. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169, and press 1, and that lets me know that you want to talk. Otherwise, you're just out there listening.
Cool. Well, David, Dr. Tim, any thoughts on our conversation so far?
Well, I'm here. I'm thinking a lot about children and the issues that get passed down from one generation to another, and you know from having visited me over the past years, Michael, that I've had my share of disruption in my family with my sons, and I have to just echo and reinforce what you were talking about, that the benefit that comes from owning my own stuff and being transparent, and how that gets amplified as it's passed down from one generation to another, is well worth all the effort. You know, you were talking yesterday about the person who could drink and smoke and eat all kinds of fatty, greasy foods and live until 90 years old, but then when you meet their son and their grandson, the effects of that gets passed down energetically and genetically is devastating. Well, in the same way, as I interrupt that pattern that's been passed down to me from generations past, whether it's anger and blaming another or destructive physical practices for my body, as I interrupt those patterns, I pass on better genetics, better energy, better tools for my children to do it differently. And I've had the blessing of experiences with my sons to challenge me in a way to give me a chance to practice what I've been teaching people in therapy for the past 37 years, and to see the blessing to see the fabulous results in them. And quite recently, I got another note from one of my sons, and he talked about how he hadn't contacted me for several weeks, despite the fact that I've been texting and messaging on the phone and sending messages through Facebook, trying to see how he's doing. And his message to me was that he's feeling like a disappointment, and he didn't want to contact me because he's had so many problems. It feels like all he's doing is dumping problems and being a disappointment to me in his life. And that word, disappointment, was such a huge piece of the first mind shifter I ever did at your intensive 4 or 5 years ago, that it just resonated with me. Oh, I need to do some more work on the issue of being a disappointment, of always wanting to please others. Because here's my son now with that as a critical issue that's coming between us, that's keeping him from having even short phone messages with me. And I have full confidence that as I do more work, whether it's worksheets or breathing or mind shifters, that I can make even more progress and help him understand that I love him regardless of how much he takes a difficult path in life or he decides he has to learn all his lessons the hard way, and that he's not a disappointment in my life. He's a source of joy and love and aliveness. So that's what got stirred up for me listening to the last caller.
Mm. Yeah, it's powerful stuff. And, you know, what we're all coming out of is such an insane age. You know, there's back in the 1600s, a fellow named Voltaire said, as long as people believe in absurdities, they will continue to commit atrocities. And when we really look at from the point of view of a newborn child, you know, one of the tests of behavior that I attempt, not that I'm always successful at, but that I attempt to hold myself to, is if this were a newborn child who just exited the womb 2 minutes ago, would they do this behavior? And you look at how many absurdities we believe in and we've been taught in our culture to believe in. It's just outrageous, you know, that we bring this new child into the world, and I'm talking about me here, because as I said, one of the biggest regrets of my life is the day that I just unleashed and yelled at my kids over them just being kids and my absurdity, my absurd belief that they shouldn't be that way, and that absurd belief that yelling at them, raging at them was an okay thing to do. And the truth is, it was an atrocity, an absolute atrocity, as Voltaire says. And, you know, the absurdity of the belief that this innocent new creation from the Creator called love deserves to be punished for something, deserves to be threatened about something, deserves to be hit, deserves to be yelled at. How absurd is that? And everything else is just an extension of those absurdities. It's crazy. And, of course, the mind has its rationalizations and rationalize. I was reading an article recently, and it was talking about the war crimes tribunal in Japan after World War II. And they executed many political and military commanders. And each one of them testified how they just wanted Japan to claim its place among the civilized nations of the world and to further the cause of peace and Japanese greatness. And what they did with those things as rationalizations is they committed horrendous atrocities. The equivalent of yelling at the kids. Literally, the logical extension, and that's why we create this invitation every day to honor Memorial Day, to take something in us that's absurd for a being made of this tender, fragile, awesome presence of love to be violated by rage, by guilt, by fear, by terrorism, by the insanities that are just considered normal in our culture is so absurd. And the logical outcome of that are the global atrocities that we see. And it's time for us to wake up from that. Time for us to start to cleanse ourselves of these absurdities. And the process of doing that is called forgiveness. That we're here to recognize everything that is not like our true beingness as humans, and to create a community of people who are willing to move through those things and move into the connected space of a human life, the connected space of being. So that's what we're here for. And Jeannie, do we have any callers?
We do have another caller. Area code
awesome.
765. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Yeah, me, Jane. Hello.
Did you say Jane?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a little bit blurry. It's a little bit fuzz, but we can hear you. Hi, Jane.
Oh. Hi. Good to hear your voice. Hi. I have a phone that's acting up, and we've got some arrangements to help it. But I just really wanted to say hi, and it was nice hearing you all today.
Awesome. Well, for anybody who doesn't know St. Jane, she's the minister at True Light Church in Anderson, Indiana. She's a Heartlander from way back, and we get to play with her all the time. So we appreciate your call. It's been a while since we've heard your voice on this phone. I know you sold your house and made a big move to southern Indiana, and you've had a lot
going
on.
I was thinking about what you were talking about in worksheets, and I gave a talk on being my significant other at church as to he being my teacher, because I've been mad at him ever since I've been down here. And that's a teacher for me.
Of course, when you say you've been mad at him, the truth is you haven't been mad at him at all. You've just been mad. And why have you been mad? Why have you been mad? Because you got mad in your body. And there's where the forgiveness is. And when I talked to you yesterday, you said you, with your move and all, you didn't have any worksheets. So I sent you out a little care package of worksheets yesterday. So you should have them in a day or so.
That's really sweet of you, and I thank you for that, because I don't know where anything is right now. But I will get me in. And I want to send my love to David. He's been on my mind.
Okay, David, are you still with us? Is David still here?
I am. Thank you, Jane. Good to hear your voice and knowing that you're still hanging in there and doing your work. And thank you so much for your thoughts.
Yeah, and good to hear your voice today. I really appreciated what you said and what you all say. You too. I appreciate you. Much love to all.
All right, Jane, we love you. Appreciate
you.
Bye-bye.
Too.
Love you, Jane.
Anything else happening in the chat room? Anybody else have a thought? David? Dr. Tim?
Yes. One of the things that you were talking about a few minutes ago was that this, it's like the,
that 1 minute.
About 45 seconds.
We'll just talk about that on Monday. Today is Friday, right? Yeah, we'll just talk about it on Monday.
Today is Friday. Okay. So we'll be off for the weekend. We'll be back on the show Monday. We invite everybody, please invite a guest to come and join you. Be aware that we're on more than one network now, a new network that's come in, and I don't have it in front of me, but you can check on the website and link to the show through that as well, live. And we appreciate you being here. We appreciate each one of you that uses the tools and is willing to enter into a level of process that most of humanity has never conceived is possible. It is possible, and as you do, you will create the best year yet of your eternal life. Have a blessed weekend. Bring a stranger with you on Monday to the show. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.